Terms and conditions apply.
Me smash fender on truck, bend like pretzel, then zap Vulcan collision center. Fix, smooth, shiny, better than before, even Igor say. It's alive. Master say take to Vulcan in Holly Seed Building. They bring car back to life. Vulcan good, smash bad.
Local news on the radio keeps you in the know right where you live.
Memorandum of Understanding between Sheridan County and the City of Sheridan outlines the responsibilities of the two jurisdictions.
It's your neighborhood, your community, and your news.
2025 Johnson County Fair and Rodeo in Buffalo will kick off today and will run through Sunday.
From Sheridan and Johnson County to statewide education updates.
The department says statewide performance in all three tested content areas increased by 1 to 3% over the last school year.
And scam warnings straight from local law enforcement.
Sheriff Dominguez has made scam awareness a priority during his appearances on Sheridan Media's Public Pulse.
Sheridan Media brings local news straight to you, fast, familiar, and right on time. Because what happens here matters. This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, October 20th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining us this morning is Sheridan Memorial Hospital Medical Imaging Manager, Stephanie Williams, and registered radiologic technologist and radiology practitioner assistant, Chris Ballou. Good morning. That is a mouthful for a title, buddy.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to say that.
What do you tell people? You're just, oh, I work in the radiology department?
Yeah, that's why we use initials in the medical field. So yeah. RPA is much easier to say.
RPA, all right. Now, where are you from originally? Steffi, I'll start with you.
Yes, good morning. I am from Colorado originally. I know that's a big boo, but I've lived here about 30 years, so I feel that Sheridan's more my home.
Fantastic. What about you, Chris?
Born and raised right here.
Born and raised right here. Yep. Now, you both deal with medical imaging. Can one of you offer a brief summary of how that's changed over the years?
Well, when Stephanie and I started, we had one department and about six pieces of equipment. That was about 25 years ago. Now we're branched out over about three different areas with about 30 pieces of equipment.
Wow.
And just duplicated most of what we have. And so it's just changed rapidly. I mean, when I first started, I think we were around 10,000 annual exams a year. Now we're up at about 38,000. So it's changed dramatically over the last 25 years.
Chris, why did you get into this field to begin with?
You know, that's a great question. I went to the University of Wyoming and graduated from there and wondered, geez, I got this four-year degree. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
And I had an interest in the medical field, and Cody at the time had a program. And I said, geez, I like Cody. Let's give it a shot. Went there and just loved it ever since. So,
what was kind of your first task that you had to do repeatedly over the years?
I'm not sure I can say that on the radio, but I do recall, unfortunately, some people have had to have a barium enema over the years, and I didn't realize I had to do things like that when I got into the field. That first experience, like, what? I have to do what? With what? I guess the best part, though, is I just love helping people out, so I'm there for them. So.
You seem like you have a pretty calm demeanor. Yeah. And in a lot of situations, especially with, like, MRI, you know, going into a machine, it's good to have somebody who's calm in the room.
No, that's a good point, and that's what Stephanie and I tell the techs a lot of times. There are studies on it that show that if you have a calming technologist, you're less likely to have a reaction to the contrast we're giving you.
Yeah.
But if you're anxious, it ramps up people's anxiety, and they have more chance of having a reaction. So it's important to have that personality.
I've always kind of noticed I get more comfortable when the individual with me seems like, oh, I do this 1,000 times a day. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. In and out. I know it's odd because usually when someone's got that demeanor and they're, you know, providing a service, you're like, wow, what's wrong with this guy's attitude? But now in situations like this, it's comforting. You know, right. We do this all the time. It's no big deal.
Yes.
Stephanie, what got you involved in this field?
I just like working with people, patient care. I've always enjoyed the medical field and learning new things. Radiology has just always been something that's always changing. Yeah. It's never the same thing twice. Every day is a new adventure.
So much technology involved in all of this. It says that you're an imaging manager. So what does that entail?
I just oversee the department. I work with some great people. We get to order new equipment. I am still a working tech as well, to where I'll do x-rays, mammograms, MRIs, help to take care of the patients. I work getting the schedules for our techs coming in. Our department is covered 24/7, 365 days of the year, so we always have somebody there to help cover patients and exams to be done. So I kind of monitor that. I get to work with other people in the hospital, other departments. We work closely with the lab and registration and scheduling to get our patients in there. So we just get to work with everybody, and it's just a challenge sometimes. But for the most part, I really enjoy what we do up there.
You know, this is one of those mysticisms. You walk into the room, there's a big piece of equipment. You don't really know what's going on. You just kind of do what the technologist tells you to do. And then all of a sudden, you see all kinds of different things coming up on a screen. Or you might even see that later. Technology in this field is so advanced. Are you constantly kind of looking through that tech, saying, hey, what's coming out on the horizon? What can we look forward to in the future?
Absolutely. It's like when you get a regular computer at home and they say by the time you get it set up, it's already out of date.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely seems like the same thing with our radiology equipment. We're very fortunate here in Sheridan. We do have state-of-the-art equipment, to where when you go to any of the big cities in the big states, we see a lot of the same equipment that we're using here in Sheridan.
Which is so amazing. I mean, I know we're a city, but rural Wyoming. And we've still got some of the best imaging equipment that's actually available.
Absolutely,
that's
yes.
That's pretty amazing. Now, Chris, as a technologist, what exactly do your duties entail?
Well, basically every day we take the order from the physician. And first off, we want to make sure, does this make sense? Is this the correct order for the diagnosis they gave us? That's kind of our first step. Make sure we're doing the right thing for the patient. Then after that is explanation of the exam to the patient, kind of explain what we're going to do, and, you know, calmly get them through the exam, and then explain to them kind of the process afterwards. You know, it's read by a radiologist, and the report will be sent back to your doctor, and then they'll set up an appointment to follow up with you. So, and I think a lot of people misunderstand a lot of times. They don't know what they're coming in for one.
Yeah.
And two, they just feel they get the results right away, or what that process looks like. So we just try and help them through that. So we're just part of the process.
I mean, I think we take a lot of things for granted. And we really take like x-rays, radiology, things like that for granted. Because before all of this technology, every time a doctor had to see something, it was invasive. And now we can get around all that. And I know we've all grown up with it. And it's, you know, quote unquote, no big deal. But it's borderline miracle in some of the stuff that you guys can do on a daily basis. It's pretty amazing. Stephanie, can you tell us about the new 3 Tesla MRI, what it is and how it differs from the one that Sheridan Memorial had before?
Right. We're very excited to have the new one. So when you have an MRI done, the machine looks the same as our regular MRI that we have at the hospital. MRIs are measured in Tesla by the strength that they run off of. So the Tesla, the one that we have currently, is a 1.5 Tesla, which does a great job. We get great images, gets a patient in and out of there in a timely manner. And as a patient, you would never know the difference.
Yeah.
So our new one now is a 3 Tesla, a little more powerful and actually double, and just the images that we get off of this new machine are just incredible. very clear when you're looking at a knee MRI, looking at those, the meniscus or the ligaments in there, very, very crisp, very clean in there. You can look for tears. We can also do brain work when we're looking at brains within the head. Very clear, looking for small, like a stroke on a patient, looking for small lesions in there, MS on patients. So it's just very precise, very clear. And those are the highlights of the 3 Tesla. Like I say, our new machine that we have, our older machine does a great job, but the differences that we're going to notice are on the joints and the smaller extremities, your hands, your wrist, feet, ankles, and then the brain work, all the neurology on there is just going to be excellent.
Now, I might get a little technical on this one, but so essentially an MRI is the one you lay on the bed. They put that little thing over your chest, right, to kind of hold you in place, and then you're kind of slid inside. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this one's got a giant magnet that actually kind of rotates on a centrifuge?
Well, it's a giant magnet, you're right, inside, but it creates a electrical force, so that field that goes through the magnet, and that essentially what aligns your protons. So each of your cells in your body have protons within it that are charged. So when you lay inside a magnet, those protons are being aligned with that magnetic field. They're in alignment, so it pulls them into alignment. And then that pulse you hear, that radio frequency that goes in there, that noise.
It's like a whop, whop, whop.
Okay. Exactly. So what that's doing is it's knocking them out of alignment. And then when that pulse turns off, the proton goes back into alignment. And it sends off some energy as it comes back in alignment. And that's what the MRI is actually detecting. There's coils, that thing you're talking about, that goes over your chest, depending on the body part we put these coils. And they actually detect that energy coming off when that comes back in alignment.
That is a lot more complicated and detailed than I thought it would be. That's amazing. It's literally at the beyond cellular level. I mean, we're going down to atoms and protons here. And that's the way that you receive these. How the heck was this thing discovered? I mean, this almost kind of had to be an accident. Someone fell into a giant magnet and said, "Joe, I can see your toe better," or something. I don't know. But I mean, it's kind of, like I said, that's modern miracle. By aligning protons within the cells of your body, you're getting the reading that you're getting.
Yeah, it assigns that grayscale to that, and that's how you get the images, either white to black, but different grayscales. So
Stephanie, when we look at an image from this, it's all black and white.
Correct.
Kind of like an old X-ray.
Yes.
Almost kind of hazy looking, but you can see very sharp details when it comes to like various things, say like a node in your back or something like that.
Absolutely, yes. And the images, you're exactly correct with it being a more of a gray, a white, or a black, but the images aren't even a hazy image anymore. They are very crisp, to where you can see definitive lines on certain body parts. Like I say, where we see it a lot is in a knee MRI, which with all of the sports we have here and everybody hiking and being outdoors, we see a lot of ACL injuries here, meniscus tears. So the pictures are so fine to where if there's any kind of a tear or anything within those structures within the knee, they can pick them out.
That's amazing. So Chris, as the guy who's kind of in there working this machine all the time, was there anything when you got in the room with the new piece of equipment that you were like, "Oh my goodness, this is night and day"?
No, you don't notice anything different with the machine. It looks the same. It feels the same. Everything is pretty much the same with the machine. I think to add on what Stephanie was telling you, I think the best analogy as far as image quality, it's a lot like watching a game with your old analog station. You're looking at it, you can see the game, you can see the plays. Yeah, it's nice. But you flip it over to an HD channel on the same game, and that's the difference between a 1.5 and a 3T.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell people all the time. It's like, no, the 1.5 is diagnostic. It's a great magnet. It does a good job. It's just the 3T. These things are much clearer. You can see a lot more detail, but about the same diagnostic value.
It's pretty amazing. Can you all remember when we switched over to HD, how odd it looked for the longest time? Yeah. And now when we watch old videos, we're like, oh, man, this is terrible. Where did all that grain come from?
Yep.
Is that kind of how it is when you look at the old images and the new images? You're like, oh, yeah, it worked. It was great. It got the job done. But this one is just nice to have. Now, Chris, are there shorter scan times?
Yeah.
Or it is.
That's what helps with the 3T. That's one of the big benefits with a 3T magnet is that strength is going to pull those protons back into alignment faster. So that decreases your scan time. So it's not waiting for that to get pulled into alignment with a 1.5. The 3T pulls it much faster, which decreases the scan time. So,
because you're the guy in town that knows everybody who's got trouble with closed spaces, aren't you?
yes.
You're the one that really knows.
Yeah, my dad being one of them, so I realize that it's a real thing.
Absolutely.
When he goes into a magnet, you start thinking about it, and then you're done for. You want out of there. So if we can decrease that time, get you through the exam, you know.
I thought for sure. You know, I went up and got one a couple of years ago from the VA. And I thought, I don't have an issue with this stuff. And then I got inside that tube and I thought, wow, maybe I got an issue with this stuff, you know? So it's great having this quick, and it's not going to be a quick in and out. What's the average time?
You know, I think right now our typical scan time is around 30 minutes. You're in the magnet for about that long for an MRI. So that's going to cut it down to 15 to 20.
Oh my goodness. Half it.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. All right. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Now is the ideal time to improve your sleep with a new mattress from Moss Holders. Every Beautyrest and every Serta mattress is on sale now. Moss Holders carries 19 mattresses for you to choose from. Whether you prefer super soft, extremely firm, or somewhere in between, Moss Holders has a mattress for you. Once you've selected the most comfortable mattress, you can customize your comfort and receive even more savings with pillows, sheets, and adjustable bases that can help with a deeper, longer, more relaxing sleep. That's Moss Holders Mattress Sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Listen here for two of the best employment opportunities available today. Decker Cole is currently hiring a mobile equipment operator and a utility oiler. These are day shift positions with excellent benefits you would expect from an established company like Decker Cole. Experience is preferred, but they will train the right person. Interested? Stop by the Sheridan Workforce Center and fill out an application. Decker Cole Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Good evening. This is Discount Dracula at the Restore. We need everything to literally make a home a castle. Furniture, appliances, cabinets, tools. As Dr. Stein says, let me be frank. We need it all. And when you donate to the Restore, proceeds go towards building new castles. I mean homes, right here in Sheridan County. So don't miss out. Too much is at stake. Donate to the Restore, 44 Fort Road. And on Halloween Day, get an extra 10% off your purchase if you're wearing your costume.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Pathways Therapeutic Support Group. Sometimes life just feels too heavy to handle alone. NAMI Sheridan's Pathways Therapeutic Support Group is a free clinician-led group offering support and guidance. Meetings are every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 307-202-8117 to sign up and get location details. Hope and healing are possible.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're talking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Medical Imaging Manager, Stephanie Williams, and registered radiologic technologist and radiology practitioner assistant, Chris Bilu. All right. So, what's the acronym that we could best describe this? So, the third time I introduce you.
I would go with RPA on that one.
RPA. RPA. Okay. Sheridan Memorial Hospital's new 3 Tesla MRI. Currently being installed at the hospital. Is it being installed or is it in and things are rolling?
It is in and things are going to get rolling today. We have what's called our, the machine that we got was from Siemens, and we have application specialists that are coming in today, and they come in and they teach us all the new and exciting buttons and gadgets and everything with the machine. It's the same brand of machine that we currently have. So our technologists are pretty versed in running the machine, but they get to see all the new bells and whistles that this new machine has. And so they'll be in later today, our application specialists from Siemens. And so our technologists will be in there this afternoon, tomorrow, getting versed on all of that great stuff. And then starting tomorrow afternoon, we're going to start putting some patients through there. So that's, we're very excited.
Amazing. Yeah. Being the first guy going into the tube sounds like it might be a little exciting. Chris, when you sit down to this new tech, have you kind of already gone through it, got a general idea of the technology behind this? Because I imagine, yes, the magnet has doubled, but the technology to operate that is probably a brand new operating system.
Yeah, and that's what Stephanie was talking about. Luckily, it's the same platform, so the screen looks the same for the technologists. You know, but what behind it is what's different, and so they don't see a lot of that. So they'll be able to function right away, probably without very little training. So, but as far as the technology, it's something, you know, we've wanted to bring on here for years. We've always wanted it. The problem is when you bring in a 3 Tesla magnet, not everyone can tolerate it. Meaning, if they have an implant in their body, it's not rated for a 3 Tesla magnet. You have to use 1.5. So you lose some patients that way. And also, some people just can't tolerate it. They get nauseous with a 3T magnet. So that's a possibility. So that's nice to have a 1.5. So that's why I always in the past, everyone said, why don't you just get a 3T? It's like, well, we need to have 2 magnets.
Yeah.
And that's something we've been able to do now. You know, we've extended our hours. We've done weekends that kind of help with the volume of MRIs. So now we just have this volume of patients that we can actually handle 2 magnets. So we thought, hey, let's just bring in a 3T. So we can, you know, scan patients on it, but also have the 1.5. So,
are you guys bringing in other technologists, or were they already on staff and now everyone's just kind of excited about jumping onto the new machine?
You nailed it right there. Everybody is excited.
New stuff is fun, right?
Absolutely. The new toys we get to play with all the time. One of the reasons we go into this profession, we have the same staff. They're just very excited to be using the new platform, like Chris said, using the 3 Tesla. Getting patients in there. We do still have the 1.5 Tesla at the hospital. So we will utilize that more for some of our inpatients, our ER patients, and then our outpatients will be able to use the 3 Tesla one. So our lead times on having exams done, say we are 4 days out right now for to have an MRI done. We can get that down to 1 or 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what we run into is just getting the patient in and getting their insurance to approve it. And sometimes that's where we get in a little bit of a bottleneck of getting all those approvals, all the back end. If it was up to us, we would just be putting patients in there and scanning right now. But as with everything else, there's the paperwork behind the scenes now.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's pretty good, though. I mean, being that the paperwork's the only thing really holding up this constant flow.
Absolutely.
You know, Chris, how many folks would you say you put through the machine on a daily basis?
Right now, I think we're averaging about 8 patients a day. 8 to 10. On a typical day, we can go up from there. So like we go up to like 12, but with 2 magnets, we can easily double that. And that'll be nice with the new 3T, with the shorter scan times. Those are slots. Yeah. We can decrease our slots, get more patients in. So,
Stephanie, if they said, you know, whether or not this new 3T is better capable at diagnosing various things than the old 1.5 was, or is it just a clearer image? I mean,
a clear image, we might be seeing smaller lesions earlier. Again, we're getting great pictures off the 1.5. The main thing we're going to see, as Chris said, is the shorter scan time, more comfortable for the patient. But from a radiologist point of view, absolutely. Those clearer pictures, some things that they may be looking at to say it could possibly be. Now they can look at it more and say, we feel pretty definitive on our answer of this is probably something. They don't want to say 100%, but in looking at the clearer images, it definitely helps.
Right, right. And, you know, I had an NCO tell me once, there's always room for improvement. There's no such thing as perfect. Everything can be improved on. So, like, the old 1.5, doing a great job, but we can go better. We can get better. And it sounds like it's been done.
Absolutely.
How old is this machine? I mean, when did these larger magnets come out? And are there even bigger ones than this?
Yes. So the 3T's been around probably a good 15, 20 years. It's been coming around, and there are 7T's, and I think there's 11T in these academic centers. There's only a few of those in the country, but they use it just for academics.
My goodness.
They're bigger ones, but those are big magnets.
So I'm a complete layman when it comes to this stuff. I've only ever had one CT or MRI, and I couldn't tell you which one I actually had. Chris, what's the difference between all of them? You got an X-ray, you got a CT scan, and then you got an MRI.
Yeah. Yeah, we do get that question quite a bit. So the MRI, what we just talked about, it's a big magnetic field. There's no radiation, so it's just aligning your protons, sending a radio signal into your body. There's no harm to that, and creates an image that way. Where a CT scan is much like X-ray, so it's actually using radiation. So radiation is going through your body, and so when that radiation goes through it, it'll stick in, like, bones, get blocked by that if it's a denser tissue, and doesn't make it through to the detector, and that's what shows up as white. Or it can go through air, and it'll go right through air, and that creates a black image. So that's essentially how it works. So a CT scan, it's actually spinning around. So it makes one revolution, and it takes it a half a second to make one revolution. In that revolution, it'll produce 64 1-millimeter slices in a half a second. But as it's spinning, the table's also moving through it. So a typical CT scan will get, you know, probably 500-600 images on a scan, but the radiologist will just look at, you know, a couple hundred. So we can get really, really fine detail with that. So, and your X-ray is just a straight, you know, X-ray just going through your body to a detector, and it produces an image.
Are there certain diagnoses that require CT over MRI or MRI over CT?
Yeah. And that's a lot of what I do in a day, you know, kind of help coordinate that care. I get a lot of calls from providers because we have about 2,500 exams to order. Wow. And with the different modalities, that, hey, what is the best test for my patient? So I'll kind of help steer them to what the radiologist preference is and then what machines we have to try and figure out a diagnosis for them. But a lot of times it, unfortunately, will lead. We'll start with the X-ray, which will lead to a CT scan, and we'll see something else, and then we'll need an MRI to further quantify what that is.
How long, on average, do doctors usually sit there with their images and look through them? And are you ever an assistant in that?
Yeah, they'll bring me in for an opinion, and I'll help with a lot of the 3D reconstructions and send it over to them. So we have two radiologists, very fortunate to have the quality of radiologists we have right now. But they work very differently. You know, one, you know, this sits down and this reads it. The other will like to open that study up two or three different times and look at it a couple of different times and think about it and then come back and dictate it. Mm-hmm. So it really does vary how long they take to look at each image. But in general, a CT, they'll take, you know, 10 minutes to look at a study and then dictate a report.
A lot of patients like to sit there with you and look at those images as you're going through.
Oh, yeah, there are. And that's a lot of what I'll do, too. I'll get a lot of calls from patients because it takes a lot of time to sit down and go through an exam to kind of explain, you know, the findings and what's going on with the image. Our radiologists read well over 100 studies a day. They just don't have time to go through each one. And then, wow. So I'll sit through or take phone calls and try and explain the report and the images to the patient.
So, I mean, is that pretty much what the radiologist does? They've been trained to identify various images of and diagnose, say this is a broken leg, that's an easy one, or you got a hairline fracture down there. I mean, how do we really see these tiny, tiny diseases or breaks? I would think that you're sitting there almost like, you know, one of those diamond inspectors with this thing on your eye, just really looking closely at these things.
Oh, yeah. And that's, And that's why the radiologists go to school for about 12 years. But a lot of it is just that experience, that repetition, seeing something over and over and getting that experience and knowing what is truly a fracture and what is not. So that takes a lot of time. And what you were talking about earlier was the technology with the 3T magnet. It's capable of doing more. So in the future, I think we can bring on more technology, which our magnet will be capable of doing it. But we also have to be cognizant of our radiologists. I mean, we've asked them to do a lot. We have to just can't keep adding on and adding on to these different technologies. Say, hey, now read this. You know, hey, can you read this study now? So we do some of them where we'll send that study out to a specialist sometimes as well.
So, oh, really? Mm-hmm. So a radiologist or a doctor who's used to seeing something concerning an organ or bones or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate here in a small community to have on-site radiologists actually sit here and read for us and do procedures. We're fortunate with that. But if you look at a bigger place like Denver, they have subspecialty radiologists. So they have radiologists that sit there, and all they do is read MSK or joint MRIs all day long. That's what they do.
Wow.
Neuroradiology. They just look at brains and spines all day long. That's all they read. Where our radiologists here, you know, they do the full gamut, nuclear medicine, X-ray, ultrasound, MRI, stereotactic biopsies, mammography. They're reading everything. And so they do a great job at it. But, you know, when it comes to these subspecialties, you know, it's just you got to draw a line somewhere.
That's incredible. And
it really is.
People who go to school for so many years just to, and I'm not saying that like just to sit and look at this stuff, because you have to be trained that much to really identify some of these things and know what you're looking at the second you see it. Because, you know, diagnosis is the name of the game so that we can start a treatment plan. Stephanie, how does advanced imaging help with early detection and faster treatment planning?
Anytime we can catch a disease early, at the very early stages, it's a great outcome for patients. They can get all the information gathered up, go on to get their treatment, see whatever physicians that they need to see for it. So we get healthier patients out there, happier patients by detecting things when they're really small, as opposed to when symptoms continue to persist or the lesions are larger. It's just better when we can catch them early.
You get on top of these things as soon as we see them.
Absolutely.
And the smaller we see them, the better.
Absolutely. And then with the better imaging, we can also look to see what other organs are involved. Instead of, if you're looking at a lesion within the brain, we can look at other body parts and say, oh, has that spread? Has it metastasized anywhere? And be able to see, to get a staging for it, to see how far along or how advanced whatever disease they might have be.
Hey, Chris, you've been doing this for a number of years. Do you have an example of something like that where you caught something, you and your team caught something really small, and it really paid off in the end?
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably weekly we come across something like that. Something sticks out in my mind. I remember when I was an ultrasound tech, I was at another facility, and I was doing an ultrasound with an older machine, and they were getting busy, and they said, hey, Chris, we got this patient. Will you scan it? I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah, I got this. I trained on this older machine. I got this. I jumped on that machine. I looked at it, and he was a bigger patient. I couldn't quite see everything, but I thought I did a good job. And I said, oh, let me look at the new machine, you know, and it freed up. And I dropped that probe on the same patient with a new machine. And it's like, oh, wow, I didn't see that. With
it just
old.
Came to
it's
light. Just,
yeah, it's as obvious then. So that technology definitely helps a lot. And talking about mammography, we did our Link Partners in Pink walk this weekend. So we're very fortunate for this community. They gave money back, and we're brought on digital mammography. Then we have tomosynthesis now. So it's just amazing. So we did about 4,000 mammos last year trying to diagnose breast cancer here in Sheridan. And we biopsied several patients, but we came up with 20 breast cancers.
Wow.
In this community alone. And so use those of those 20 breast cancers, most of them we caught really early, which really helps the patient. You catch something early, it's a simple treatment plan, and you have a, you know, long life ahead of you. And unfortunately, some of them are advanced, and that's where you have trouble treating them. So,
you know, I know you're not a practitioner or a doctor, but you know, it is that time of the year that we think about these things, that we address them. Stephanie, what would you say to the young ladies out there who maybe haven't gone in to get their first exam yet? What would you say to them?
Just to know your body, know your health, look for any kind of a change. Find someone you're comfortable with talking to, whether it be a friend, a friend's mom, your practitioner, just anybody. But just look for changes is the main thing. And don't be afraid to bring them up and get them checked out. Most people are afraid. They find something and they're afraid, oh my goodness, it's probably something bad. Well, for the most part, it probably isn't. When we do breast biopsies, 80% of our biopsies come back negative. But we can't tell you 100% until we do that biopsy. But just don't be afraid. Know your body, know changes, and then just get it checked out.
And when it comes to this exam, it's pretty quick. It's pretty in and out, isn't it, Chris?
Yes.
I mean, average time.
For an MRI, yeah. You're talking? Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, even for like a mammogram.
Oh, mammogram? Yeah, mammogram especially, that's 5 minutes. So.
Oh, boom. Yeah. And you can walk away with peace of mind.
Absolutely.
Or you know, if anything is found, you know, you have the information, you can start consulting with your doctor right away.
Right. Yeah. And as you said, we're fortunate. We've got our radiologists here. When we find something, we're getting those patients back in within a day or two just to ease their mind, because we'll have patients with a family history of breast cancer, or maybe they have a personal history of it and coming in, and it's always in the back of your mind. Even when you're coming in for a screening, you know, when we do 20 of these a day, for me, for some people, they think, oh, it's just repetition. But we're about to change somebody's life with either giving them the all clear, mm-hmm, or letting them know there's something there that we need to investigate a little further.
And I think that's absolutely amazing. And one of the keystones of Sherrod Memorial Hospital, every patient that walks through there is somebody to them. And absolutely. I've always appreciated the way, you know, I've interviewed a lot of doctors. I've interviewed a lot of individuals and nurses who work with these patients every day, and they understand the gravity and they understand the importance of patient care. And I've always appreciated that about everyone that I've talked to from Sheridan Memorial. But on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Listen here for two of the best employment opportunities available today. Decker Cole is currently hiring a mobile equipment operator and a utility oiler. These are day shift positions with excellent benefits you would expect from an established company like Decker Cole. Experience is preferred, but they will train the right person. Interested? Stop by the Sheridan Workforce Center and fill out an application. Decker Cole Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
There is no known cure for tinnitus, but we can help provide you with relief. Hi, I'm Dr. Addison Dempsey.
And I'm JT Kraft from Evia Hearing and Sound.
Lanier is the first low-risk, non-invasive medical device of its kind that is clinically proven to relieve tinnitus and is FDA approved.
Starkey's brand new Edge AI hearing aids offer groundbreaking technology that powers the most capable hearing devices available while also offering expanded tinnitus masking therapies.
Schedule today to determine what tinnitus treatment is right for you.
Evia Hearing and Sound, 674-8920. That's 674-8920. 844-8920.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires, get one half off, plus consumer rebates from popular brands like Bridgestone, Cooper, and Michelin. Additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
You wish you were being swept away to an exotic place. Instead, you're sweeping up the garage trying to find a place for all your stuff. The Country Bounty can put you in touch with folks willing to pay cash for all those things standing in the way of your vacation. All you have to do is call the Country Bounty, 674-4312. Tell them you want to place an ad where 18,000 potential buyers are ready to send you packing. Get your ad in by Thursdays at 1 p.m. to be in next week's edition. The Country Bounty, 674-4312.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. Our guests this morning, Sheridan Memorial Hospital Medical Imaging Manager, Stephanie Williams, and RPA, Chris Ballou. Right?
A lot easier.
much easier on the tongue. You know, we've been talking about new imaging technology up at Sheridan Memorial Hospital. Stephanie, Sheridan Memorial is one of the few facilities with radiologists on staff. And that is something that we want folks to understand. Once those images are taken, they're looked at same day?
Yes. The majority of them, I would say probably almost 99% of them are looked at and read that day.
Now, are there a lot of rural communities that don't have that?
Absolutely, yes. More than as being here in Wyoming, we're fortunate that our radiologists are on site, but you can go over just over the mountain, even Powell, some of the smaller towns, they send out the images to other reading facilities, whether it be back east or maybe in the Pacific Northwest, to where they're not read. And they're usually not read until that evening.
Oh, wow.
So they're not even read at the same time. And so these radiologists will be in groups and they just get image after image sent in. So there's no personalization to it at all. Having our radiologists here on site is great for the technologists, great for the patients, just great for the community. Their knowledge and being able to talk one-on-one with them, to be going and show them images. It's also a learning experience for us as technologists, because we can go in and ask them about certain exams. If we see something on images, and they can explain it to us as technologists, to where we're continuously learning as well, what to look for on our images, how to better ourselves in taking images as well. And
wow. An absolute resource.
Yes.
That's you know, and those are things that you don't tend to think about. But Chris, have you worked in an area where there was no radiologist on site?
No, I've been fortunate that every site I've worked at, I've had a radiologist on site. But I don't know what Stephanie was talking about. We hear about it all the time. You know, we live in a society where everything is right now, right?
Yeah.
And if we get hurt, we want an image, we want it right now, and people don't understand the process. And so we're fortunate here in Sheridan that we have the ability to get people right in right away, where we hear stories where patients will go to a bigger place, they can't get seen for 2 weeks, then they get a CAT scan, and then they have to wait at least a week or two to get the results from the CAT scan. That's how backed up some of these facilities are.
And it's amazing what can change in a week, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. You know, Stephanie.
I go by Steph.
Okay. When we look at the availability of radiologists, you touched on something that I really liked. The technologist can go in and have a conversation with them. What kind of benefit is that?
It just keeps us on our game and up to snuff, per se. And our working with our radiologists are great. They're more than willing to explain, you know, what they're looking for. Maybe they're looking for a different type of exam, or even just a different view to see something a little bit better. Well, they can explain to us why. Instead of us doing an exam, taking those images, and then you send them off somewhere to be read, and then it comes back and all you see in the report is, we could have visualized this better. Well, when we can show it to the radiologist and he can explain and tell us why exactly those other images are going to be more beneficial for reading it, it just, it's it helps us to be better techs, and it just gives us better patient care.
Like having a learning clinic right there on the spot.
Absolutely.
You know, Chris, when it comes to looking at the images themselves, are doctors and radiologists walking in looking at the screen, or is that something that you print out for them? Which image is better?
Yeah. I mean, you talked about what was it like when we first started here 25 years ago. It used to be that way, where it was actual a film, and you took this piece of film and you stuck it up to a light box, and they'd look through, you know, on one piece of film, they might have 20 small little thumbnail size CT scans. Now everything, you're right, is sent to a computer screen. And these aren't just normal computer screens. So the monitors we carry at the hospital are right around $30,000 for a set of diagnostic radiologist monitors.
Holy cow.
Yeah. You could have really watched that Broncos game yesterday in high def. But
that's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. But not only that, you can manipulate it. You can make the image lighter, darker. You can magnify it. There's a lot of things you can do with it now. And back in the old days when me and Steph first started, we'd shoot an X-ray. If it was too dark, we'd have to go back and repeat it. Now we take a picture, we just do a mouse click, lighten it up a little bit, move on. So
that's incredible. Yeah. So when you're standing there looking at this screen, I mean, I imagine it's pretty good size, $30,000.
No, it's not. It's about
it fits in your pocket.
Yeah, it pretty much does.
But I mean, the value is in the image itself.
Yes, 100%.
Being able to sit there and really look at these. And I mean, radiologists, they're looking at, you know, I would assume what, 60, 70 images a day?
Oh, no. Way more than that. Yeah.
Really?
There's times I'll look at the list and there'll be, you know, 40 studies on the list and 6,000 images that they have to look at. So
holy goodness.
So yeah.
So you better be trained in what you're looking to see.
Better be trained and better be good to them. We're very fortunate to have them here, but we can push them over the edge if we keep wanting things more and more and more. So,
right.
A good thing with Stephanie and I's job, a lot of times at 5 o'clock, we get to go home. Where the radiologists, you know, sometimes they're just starting their work. They have to go home and start reading studies. They actually read from home as well. So,
oh wow, yeah. That's one of those careers. It's there's never off hours, right?
Nope.
You got to take the vacation, put up all the alerts, get out of town, maybe even out of the country, but working all the time. But I mean, I can understand why and the pressure of such a position. You know, your doctors are counting on your opinion when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
So I can understand.
100%.
I mean, what you see is vital to life. Now, Chris, what challenges do rural hospitals face when imaging has to be sent out for interpretation that you know of?
Yeah, and just what I was telling you about, if we have to send images out, our turnaround time decreases, increases, is that we don't get an immediate result back. So I think last time I looked, there was about 5,000 open positions for radiologists across the country. So there's a shortage of radiologists right now to bring in. So these rural communities are having trouble attracting a radiologist to come work, because who wants to come work and then be on call 24/7, 7 days a week?
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to demand that. So
the only radiologist in the county.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some situations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it the amount of school needed? Is it the pressure of the job that you think that's kind of keeping people so, you know, reluctant to become a radiologist?
Yeah, it's a combination of multiple things, just like any field you go into. There's this increasing population, you know, so it's just harder for them to staff. There's an increased usage of CT scans, especially out of the ER. You know, back in the day, we'd do like one or two a day. Now, you know, it's like 10 or 12 a day, and that's across the country. People are just utilizing advanced imaging, which takes more time to read, which takes more radiologists. So just can't turn them out fast enough.
So, folks, if you're looking for a new career, one that you could almost guarantee job security in, radiologist, and I imagine technologist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what is an education? I'm running out of time with you, but how many years of school did you have to attend?
Well, I should have been a doctor, but probably about 6 years of training, 2 years of X-ray, and then additional training, and then RPA was another additional 2 years. So,
Stephanie, you get somebody like Chris in the office. You're doing everything you can to keep that, aren't you?
Absolutely. He's a great addition.
Now, is there anything about the new imaging technology that we have up there that we haven't talked about that you'd like people to know about? Or have we hit everything?
I think we've hit everything. You've done a great job. We're just very excited to and fortunate to be able to have the state-of-the-art equipment, not only with our new MRI, but our mammography, our CT scanners, everything that we have going on up there. It just lets us take care of our patients here in our community.
You know, it's like a first step for a lot of people, you know, getting over that fear, going in, getting it checked, see if that is what you're terrified it is. So folks, get this taken care of as soon as possible. Chris, is there anything that you'd like people to know about the technology or your profession that we haven't covered?
No, I think we covered most everything. I think this, for people to know that the technologists are there to help them out, part of their journey and trying to figure out what's going on with them. And we're just fortunate to have the support of the hospital and the foundation to give us the technology to make our lives a lot better and the patients' lives a lot better.
Absolutely. I want to thank you both so much. I know you guys are really busy. Thanks for coming in and talking to me this morning. It's an Wonderful. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you,
Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
You dream of a place that's yours. Not the kitchen or the pantry, not the laundry room, just your space, where nobody asks what's for dinner. Do pottery. Have a photo studio or wood shop. That's a Synergy Shop-O-Minium, built your way right here in Sheridan. Heated, secure, and easy to make your own. Call it a she shed or a sanctuary. Just call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and make it real. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums, where your me time finally has an address.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Tom Hebert with the Natural History Museum of Wyoming here in Sheridan. It's our pleasure to announce our annual gala being held December 1st, 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Sheridan Ramada. The focus of the event is to help us raise funds to continue to support our Kids Digs program, Vets Digs programs, add exhibits, and extend our hours. Get your tickets now and join us December 1st at 5 p.m. And you might even get a chance to win the right to name a dinosaur.
Magic Melanie here, First Northern Bank VIP and four-time defending champ of the First Northern Bank and Carroll Furniture Pro Football Pick'em. Nobody can touch me, but here's what happened on the morning show this week. This eerie outside.
The mist, the fog.
The mist. Yeah. Don't go into the mist.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah, okay.
You know who
you
went
told
in?
Me, you tell me now.
And you,
went,
you
now.
Know who went into the mist in their picks this week? Andrew.
Yeah. Jamie's the one that didn't come back.
Yeah, Jamie's still out there.
Jamie's not here. He didn't come back out of the mist.
Yeah.
Good luck, Chuck. Carroll's Furniture VIP here, inviting you to play along for a chance to win a $100 gift card from Pit Crew to you. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:30 to hear our picks and how I dominated.